and welcome to Clean Water Conversations, the podcast where we have casual discussions about creating clean and clear waterways right here in Lancaster County. I'm Ken.
Hey, everybody. I'm Allison.
Allison, it is spring.
It is blooming and beautiful.
We are in the crux of it. It is gorgeous out there.
Mm-hmm.
Time for planting and gardening. And I'm just kind of curious, do you do any gardening?
No. I wish that I could, but I'm just, that is not a gift I have.
What a silly question, Ken.
How about yourself?
Well, we used to have a fairly big garden, but I couldn't keep up with it.
Okay.
So we're trying something new. I actually made planter boxes this
year.
Just
crafty.
Two of them. Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see. We'll see how everything comes out. They're just simple, just little 20 by 20 inch planter boxes, and we'll plant tomatoes in the one and maybe peppers or something in the other one and see what happens.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that we have a potluck lunch so we can all enjoy the benefits.
It'll be exciting, regardless.
Yes.
It'll be exciting. And you know what? Speaking of exciting, we are talking Lancaster Water Week on this episode.
It's coming up quick.
Yes. And we're talking with Kelly Snavely, who is the Vice President of Development and Marketing, and Keith Williams, the Vice President of Education and Engagement at Lancaster Conservancy, two of the people that helped put this thing together.
They are true superstars.
And so much information, so many stories, so many events going on. We actually had to split it into two episodes. So this is the first episode. The second one will be out in a couple of weeks. Let's get into it.
Here we go.
We are here talking with Kelly Snavely, Keith Williams, both from Lancaster Conservancy. Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Doing great.
We're gonna talk about Water Week because that's coming up. But actually, first, we always start these off with an icebreaker. So your question is, what would be the title of your autobiography?
Oh, gosh.
Want me to go?
Yes, please,
okay.
Keith.
Put a lot of thought into this.
I'm excited.
Accidental naturalist, I think.
Accidental naturalist.
Yeah.
That's a perfect combination of what we were just talking about or learning about you. Yeah.
So I've always been into nature. Nature has always had this significant effect on me. Went to undergraduate for environmental biology, worked as an ecologist for about 10 years, got into education. Remember John Williams?
Yeah, of course.
That's what I wanted to be.
That makes sense.
Right?
That's totally.
Exactly. And then
that or Bill Portlock.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then I fell into this position at the Conservancy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden woke up one day, I'm like, holy cow, I'm this accidental naturalist. So I'm like in that role. So.
And we're not talking about John Williams, the composer.
No, John Williams is just amazing. Amazing. We have a common
background. Yeah. Yep.
And John Williams has always been one of my mentor, idol kind of people. And he was the senior naturalist, essentially, for CBF.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, boy, that'd be pretty great.
Writer, explorer.
Yeah, just amazing.
Expert
guy.
In so many things.
Yeah. Hang on.
And I would say you have. Oh.
Did we say CBF?
CBF.
Oh. Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I didn't think I was going to do that today at all.
Sorry about that.
It happens so easily with organizations.
But we almost snuck it in.
See? We did. You didn't even notice.
It took me a while, and I had to move the paper off the board so I could get to the buttons. So anybody who's not familiar, we have a rule against unexplained acronyms. So if one of us, and that includes us, I've been buzzed already too. If one of us uses an acronym, which are very common in this industry, I'll buzz you, we'll stop everything, and you have to explain what the acronym stands for. So yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt you in the middle of it.
Oh, that sounds a fun one.
Oh, you can now use CBF, by the way.
Oh,
so once,
so now,
once I buzz you,
I'm not going to get into that habit, though. You're just setting me up for the next one.
Promise.
I try to keep you on your toes, Keith.
It's working.
You guys make it easy. It's the Lancaster Conservancy. You can't make it. We don't have an acronym. Maybe you do, but don't tell us if you do.
We won't. Don't worry.
So, Kelly, what would be your autobiography?
Oh, gosh. You know, being this conversation being around Water Week, I feel like it has to kind of like even thematically like enter that realm. I'm definitely going to steal from a beer brainstorming session that we had for Lancaster Water Week and one of the kind of names that was left on the table, I think. So, Confluential.
Mm-hmm.
Confluential.
Yeah, definitely have to give credit to the brainstorming team who came up with that Lancaster Water Week beer name that never came to fruition.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, right? You know, for me in my life, everything's been about like the intersections or the overlapping of things. You know, I started my career in, you know, I didn't even went to college for managing the performing arts and theater. And here I am now working in the conservation and environmental sector. But I find there's so much overlap in the work of, you know, the arts and in the work of conserving our planet. You know, those skills come together in a really unique way. And I think Water Week actually is one of those places where it happens the most, you know, those collaborations and in creating experiences that help people deepen their knowledge, understanding, and desire to take action for our planet, for our waterways. That's when my skills come together like that. That's where I get really excited. So yeah, the coming together of things is, I think, where there's so much power and ability to influence influence our world and shape our world. And definitely the most impactful moments in my own life have been at these wild intersections that I never thought would come together, and the skills that I've gained and the things that I love in my life.
That's awesome. So we have mentioned Water Week several times already in this conversation. Mm-hmm. There are probably people out there who don't know what Water Week is. So in a nutshell, what is Water Week?
That's a wonderful question. Lancaster Water Week is a week-long celebration of our streams and rivers here in Lancaster County. We have over 1,400 miles of streams and rivers, half of which are unfortunately not healthy. But there's incredible things happening in our community every day to heal our streams and rivers. And Water Week is an opportunity for a coalition, a collaboration of multiple partners doing that incredible work to share that work with the community. And Water Week is just a platform on which we can elevate and bring awareness to that work and hopefully get more people to join that effort, to increase that awareness and increase that action that, you know, we all need to take to invest in our streams and rivers and ensure that, you know, one day they're all healthy, that they're all swimmable, fishable, drinkable,
yeah,
that we can all enjoy them and the wonderful benefits that they provide that are, you know, everywhere from recreation to the economic side of things, the agricultural side of things, you know, here in the breadbasket of America in Lancaster County. And Water Week, you know, it's, there's something for everyone. But I think the thing that defines it the most is that it's collaborative. It involves multiple partners. There's something for everyone of all ages, everyone of all understandings, whether or not you knew we had streams and rivers in this county or you've been volunteering for many years, there's some way to be involved, learn more, and take action.
Let me take a step back, actually, and just in total transparency, this is actually going to be my first Water Week.
Oh, wonderful.
I have heard of it before. I've seen, I think I saw commercials maybe on GAL in the past. If you're not from the area, that's our local TV station.
not an acronym.
Oh, it's not?
Oh, that's right. It's an acronym. Dang it, I thought I got it.
He's watching you.
I appreciate you keeping me on my toes. Uh-huh. That's awesome. I love the participation. So the question that I kind of pose as somebody who's never partaken in it is, why would I want to go and participate in Water Week?
I'll start it.
I mean,
it's fun. That's the start.
Yeah.
And there's an event for everybody. Everything from concert series at Long's Park to educational opportunities for people at maybe a 201 or a 301 level, creek stomps for kids, paddling. There's something for everybody in this. And so even if maybe you don't have that connection to water or to nature, man, go to the Long's Park concert series. It's a concert. It's music, right? Yeah. And maybe you'll pick something up along the way.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the monolith that'll be at Penn Square. Mm-hmm. And that's just become this kind of crazy, kind of taking a life on of its own.
Yeah.
And I've got some funny stories about them when we get to that part, related to my experiences of being downtown in the middle of the night and things happening at the monolith that I didn't expect. But so that's number one. To me, it's a really fun way for people just to engage with this really cool community that's formed around this concept, right?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that blows me away about Lancaster is this conservation community that's here.
Yeah.
And all these organizations that are coming together in partnership.
Yeah.
to make this huge event that impacts tens of thousands of people in a real positive way. And that's community. I mean, there's community there, you know, mm-hmm. and community in the name of conservation, in the name of clean water and what we can all do. And it's empowering too. So it's fun and it's empowering. You know, when I listen to the news and look at what's going on in the world environmentally, it's like, man, oh man, holy crap.
Yeah.
But there's hope related to action, and action breeds hope. And that's what Water Week does. It inspires people. It shows people how each of us as individuals can make a difference. And that's how collectively we're going to clean up rivers and streams, because that's how collectively they become impaired. It's not pointing a finger at any one entity. It's all of us
yeah.
that have that responsibility. And so if we all come together and take that responsibility and put the positive spin on it and do the right thing, things get better. We know they get better.
Yep.
We've got streams that are being delisted
yeah.
from the impaired list to unimpaired in this county because of that hard collaborative work.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, that's why Water Week, first and foremost, is a celebration, you know, to Keith's point. This isn't some, oh, you know, woe is us, you know, our streams and rivers are impaired, they're unhealthy, let's just focus on the negative. It's a celebration of this incredible resource that we all share, that connects each and every one of us in the community in a variety of ways. I mean, there are, this year, this is our eighth year for Lancaster Water Week, there are over 60 events this year that Wow. are currently listed for people to take part in. And those events, you know, span a variety of organizations doing this work. And I think that conservation community that Keith, you know, just stated, it starts in the planning for Water Week. The second, you know, last year's Water Week wrapped up, we were already getting back together with all of those partners and dreaming up what's next. And I think in those moments where we're dreaming up what's next, when we're all coming together as multiple organizations that kind of usually work in our own different ways, you know, there's power in that. There's power in those organizations coming together and trying to figure out how to move the needle. And I think that translates to the community through all the events that are offered.
So I don't live in the city. It's kind of unfamiliar territory for me, so I don't actually personally like to go into the city. So what would you say about folks that don't want to come into the city and still want to participate?
This is countywide. This
yeah.
is definitely countywide. But there, you know, is, you know, there are a lot of events that take place in the city. There's, you know, the monolith that, mm-hmm. that Keith mentioned that we'll definitely get into, because it's its own monolithic force during the week. But there are, you know, we'll be up at the Foulmouth area near Bainbridge doing a hike along the Northwest River Trail, experiencing the history intersection with the wetlands there near our Foulmouth Forest Garden, Conoy Wetlands Nature Preserve. We've got the Safe Harbor Dam tours that are going to be happening, you know, with Brookfield, where you can go and experience and explore, you know, that dam and kind of mm-hmm. see behind the scenes. And yes, at the same time, there's things happening in the city. This year, the city of Lancaster will be doing tours of their wastewater treatment plant, but they'll also be doing tours of their restored wetland at Long's Park. And I think, again, there's so many different ways to peek behind the curtain of what's happening in this county to clean up our streams and rivers and what it means to, you know, use water as a resource as a community.
How would you recommend maybe an individual that's new to this, but also a business, if a business wants to get engaged or wants to be understand what their role is in something like Water Week, what would you recommend?
You know, I think each individual person comes to, you know, a topic like this from their own angle and their own interest. And I would say, you know, grab our brochure, go on the website and see what looks interesting to you. Not everyone wants to get on the water and paddle. Not everyone's curious, you know, about, you know, stream ecology. But for some people, those things might be the gateway in. And everyone has their own kind of gateway in. My goodness, we offer a Water Week beer. You know, so if beer is your thing, you know, there's information on those beer cans about Water Week that will help draw you in, because, well, you really can't brew good beer without good
clean water.
Right, yeah. So there is a way in for everyone. And I would just say, follow your own interests and passions
okay.
to access this work. That's why there are 60 events. You know, we recognize that creek stomps might attract some folks to this movement and getting outside with their families. And, you know, at the same time, we'll also, you know, have these, you know, I'm trying to think what other events we've got on the list this year.
Well, like Landis Homes is doing a more advanced tour of stormwater best management practices, for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So more advanced level stuff.
They're going to be diving into invasive species management there this year. Great. So, you know, let's say that's a really great event for property owners who are trying to tackle, you know, invasive species on their own property so that they can plant more native plants, which are very helpful in improving the quality of the water in our area.
And then there's multiple opportunities to get on the water with Conestoga River Club.
CRC.
That doesn't count, does it? I said CRC.
You said it first.
You said, explained what it stood for. All
right. That and Project Clean Stream. People
and Saturday, that's just amazing. I mean, it's an opportunity for people to take action on everything from we have located an old dump that needs to get cleaned up at Kanoi to invasive species management along the river, which affects stream ecology negatively. To you know the typical trash cleanup, and that's distributed throughout the county, and it's just a great day of action.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You mentioned this is the 8th year of Lancaster Water Week. How did it get started?
So this is the 8th year. I've been participating in helping, you know, I've been a part of the Conservancy now for 5 years. So this will be, I think this is actually going to be my 6th water
week. I think this is my 4th.
Yeah, your 4th, my 6th water week.
Because you jumped in, like, even before you started with the Conservancy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Essentially. I was there for, I think, the 2nd year of water week as a participant. Mm-hmm. And I actually have in my backyard now, it's got to be about 15 feet
trees?
Tall. Yeah, a redwood tree that... my partner and I, he put a little tiny redbud twig that we got from the Green Infrastructure bike tour. Yep. We biked it home. I got a picture of it sticking out of his backpack. And now it's 15 feet high and it's April right now, right? So it is covered in blooms and gorgeous. And
goodness.
Definitely moved it around a few times in our backyard. It still survives. So native plants are hardy. And but that's you know, when my first, you know, even before I got part of Water Week, it was... just a really eye-opening experience for me as someone new to the county. But Lancaster Water Week was the idea of our current president and CEO, Fritz Schroeder, and his friend and one of our board members at the Conservancy, Spike. The two of them would go out paddling, you know, as they were wont to do on the Conestoga.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, they were constantly trying to brainstorm, like, what can we do? You know, here we are in this county that has, you know, and Fritz would put it this way, has a bullseye on its back, right?
Yeah.
You know, here we are, the largest contributor of, you know, sediment and nitrogen and phosphorus to the Chesapeake Bay. You know, we've got, you know, all of these different issues happening at the city level, which have lots of acronyms that I'm not going to state now at the municipal level. And, you know, I think for them, it was, you know, all these negative kind of connotations are happening in the press. What can we do, though? Because there's so much incredible action that's happening, too. You know, Fritz was so connected to all the other organizations like the Alliance for the Chesapeake Bay that was doing work, Stroudwater Research Center, you know, the Conservation District here. And, you know, he saw the amazing work that was happening with the city of Lancaster and was like, how can we shine a spotlight on all the good that's happening and hopefully use that action that's already taken place to inspire more action and to grow awareness for the fact that, first off, we have this incredible resource. Second off, yes, it's impaired, it's unhealthy, but we can do something about it. And guess what? We have a lot of organizations, we have a lot of businesses, we have a lot of, you know, religious organizations, a lot of individuals and volunteers who are passionate about this work and are doing something about this work. And so he brought together that community, you know, and one of the first sponsors actually to Water Week was Landis Homes, Landis Communities. And, you know, I think they are just that perfect example of some of the work that's happening, you know, that this is not just something that a lot of nonprofit environmental organizations are working on, but it's something that there's a lot of, you know, for-profit organizations or, you know, just different companies across our county who really do deeply care about this issue as well. And, you know, during Water Week this year, you know, and the last several years, you can tour the work that they're doing on their Landis Homes campus, which is now this mature, beautiful wetland restoration with, you know, meadow restoration as well, and a woodland that's been completely, you know, healed from the invasive species that have taken it over. So I think it's a message of hope as well that we're trying to get out through Water Week. And so, yes, Water Week started out of a conversation while paddling, which I just think is absolutely, you know, perfect. It's that inception story that's right where it should be. But it's continued to evolve. Yeah. You know, the Water Week persisted through a pandemic and we pivoted and we were able to kind of change it then in a way that reached more people. And then we continued to pivot to open it up to get more folks involved. You know, we've gone from a handful of events to now over 60 events this year and more partners engaged and involved. And every year it continues to grow beyond, you know, even what we originally imagined. I think every year for the last few years, I've been surprised when Water Week rolls around and there's these events for Water Week that we weren't even aware were happening because it's grown beyond what Lancaster Conservancy has kind of put forth. It's taken on a life of its own. And that's pretty special to Absolutely. Recognize that something that was, you know, started has grown to that moment.
Well, and you really started that momentum and mm-hmm. thus has grown to people that want to be part of a winning team. They're seeing the progress. They want to be part of that success. Mm-hmm. So you guys have driven that. Thank you for your leadership.
Yeah. No, it's really an honor to get to be a part of. I know I get to say honor and a privilege to be a part of something in your work that has such an impact and is so close to the values and things that are important to me.
Landis Homes has been such an inspiration for other places. So the fact that they are part of Water Week, they're in that leadership role there, they really have inspired and have served as a mentor for additional communities, at least three that we've been able to work with through Lynn Farrick and her role within the Conservancy. So thank you again for continuing that with Woodcrest Villa and Willow Valley and Homestead. So amazing how that inspiration keeps going.
It ripples out, right?
It does. The yeah. ripple effect is so true. Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned the monolith.
Yeah.
Tell me about the monolith.
I want to know the stories.
So I'll start with the stories and then you can give the background. You want to give the background, I'll start to.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think even how.
So
you start with
we wanted something that was like a visual art, public art in Penn Square mm-hmm. that was very visible for Water Week. And, you know, again, Spike Brandt is just this amazing mm-hmm. event producer. Also a board member, incredible creative mind.
Yes.
And so, you know, the Water Week team, was it 2 years ago, I think, came up with the idea of the monolith mm-hmm. That would have, you know, a four sides that was, I don't know, 10, 12 feet tall, that had different things depicted on each of the panels about our connection to clean water and what we can do. And then we do a lot of plant giveaways as part of Water Week. Many, many tabling events where people come and get a free tree, shrub, because that's a direct connection to clean water.
Yep.
Right. Planting native stuff in our yards, in our landscapes, directly relates to clean water because it reduces runoff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we want to encourage those kinds of activities. In addition to all the other benefits of planting native in terms of biodiversity, conservation, everything else. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, let's just stock the monolith with these tree and shrubs.
We wanted to make a really cool social media background at the time, right? You know, like tag yourself, cool green yeah. wall, you know, it had a stream running through it. So we put the plants in there to make a green wall.
And people took them.
Yeah.
All week long.
All week long. All night,
night long.
So I'm downtown at about 1 o'clock, not going to say why. And I'm watching these people come out of a bar and they're staggering a little bit. It's okay. They're having a good time. Not driving, right? Yeah. They're walking. And they studied that monolith and they read each of the tags to figure out which tree or shrub would fit their yard.
Oh, my word. Right?
So it wasn't like they're just walking by and grabbing it.
Perfect.
You know, which they certainly could have. But they were like, you know, I don't know, this is crazy. You know, slurring their words. But really being mindful and careful about picking the right plant.
Yeah.
So initially when I saw this, I'm like, oh, that plant's going to die. They're just going to grab it and go, you know. But then I'm like, well, no, because they put so much care into looking at what the site requirements were for each of the species, you know. And it's just... It's that idea that it's accessible to folks 24 hours a day for the duration of Water Week. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fritz was out there every morning at like 0:30 restocking it because it would just get, you know, every plant would get taken during the night, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had the top row and this is, gosh, is it 15, 20 feet tall? Someone took the plants along the top row. We still don't know how.
How did they
yeah. So I will say in your 2 and for year 3, we have lowered where the plants are on the monolith for safety reasons. Now that we know that folks, you know, and we changed our mindset, right? This is the complete democratization of tree distribution and getting native plants into the hands of people who are going to create change and action. And I think what I love most about this is, you know, circling back, like, why are we doing public art during conservation awareness week, like for Water Week, right? But that's where the amazingness happens, right? You know, it's, you know, we had Spike Brandt and his company Nimbus come together with Tate and Atomic, who had this really cool like product, you know, where we could build this monolith out of it. We had this, you know, incredible, you know, designer, Libby Modern from Modern Art and illustrator Austin Lord and all these, you know, kind of creative minds coming together, you know, from the art world to create real change and impact, you know, in our environment. Yeah, yeah. And like, there's just something so special about that right in the heart, in the intersection of downtown Lancaster. And I think that just shows, you know, where that amazing kind of magic of Water Week happens.
Yeah. It's your confluence.
It is the confluence. Yeah.
It's neat to me that there are people from so many backgrounds that are, you know, just finding their niche in participating in Water Week.
Somehow. So, you know, as a land trust, you know, what are we doing dabbling in clean water stuff? And one of the reasons why we protect land is because it produces clean water. Forests and landscapes, grassed landscapes, grassland, native grasslands, not lawns. you know, because the perception is this area was all eastern deciduous forest, pre-European settlement. That's not actually accurate. There were a lot of patches of eastern prairie, of native meadow here. And if you look at the root zone depths of some of these plants, 6 foot, 10 foot, 12 foot, they're sponges.
Ooh.
Just like the forest is a sponge for water. And so when it rains, that water would go in instead of off, right? And that's one of the big problems that we have right now in terms of water quality. It's all runoff instead of infiltrating in.
Oh, I like that. I haven't heard that in, not off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
I've heard
so,
green infrastructure, not gray infrastructure.
Right.
Filter, not the funnel.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
And so, you know, the 10,000 acres that we protected in our 54-year history do that. It allows that rainwater to do what it did naturally before we develop land. And that's to soak back in. There's got to be runoff on the bigger events, obviously. Mm-hmm. That lets that water soak in. And so there's multiple reasons why we protect land as a land trust. And one of them is because of the ecosystem services that protected land provides us free of charge. Mm-hmm. Which includes stormwater management.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a really obvious direct connection between land protection and clean water. And I think Water Week just highlights
that. I mean, we know that less than 15% of Lancaster County is forested. And while we need to work on, in, you know, replanting those streamside forests on that 85% that isn't forested, we've still got 15% that is forested, but it's not all protected. It's not guaranteed. Right. And so the work that we do as a land trust or the conservancy is to make sure that 15% doesn't shrink further.
Keep it growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really cool.
There's some real social stuff attached to this too. Like last year, I think it was the city that did the River Speaks series.
Oh, River Connections. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, we forget about that piece, I think, sometimes as conservationists. We forget about the social implications of these natural systems and how, you know, like specifically, because we're doing a lot of Underground Railroad work right now in terms of interpretation and how important river corridors were for the Underground Railroad. And in a lot of ways, by protecting and restoring those river corridors, we're protecting and restoring that hidden history.
The history, yeah.
And now just bringing those stories out, right, and telling that story is another piece of Water Week. It's the societal implications of the conservation work. And what Kelly said, I agree with 100%, and I love it, is totally the democratization of conservation, right? When I think about what can I do to save a mountain lion, not a whole lot as an individual. Right. They have about 10,000 acre home range. I don't have that kind of cash to go and buy 10,000 acres to set it aside. But man, I can plant a milkweed, and that milkweed plant, one plant will support a half a dozen monarch caterpillars. And monarchs just had a 50% reduction in their population last year. 50% reduction
last year,
in a year. Now, that's a multifaceted problem, and it's not only because of stuff on our end. There are migratory species. Every time you get a migratory species, it becomes really complicated. But we know for a fact that part of the driver on that is the loss of milkweed here because of a shift in agricultural practices.
Right.
We've got Roundup Ready corn. Farmers can spray year-round. And so when that milkweed was growing in the farm field margins, it's not anymore. And so my one milkweed plant on the patio of my rental can make a real difference in that organism.
It's
and that's the democratization, right? So the monolith embodies that. Instead of being, oh, we can't just let these plants out there because people are going to do crazy things with them, just going to steal them. We're like, no, let's embrace the idea of people taking these plants because that's what they're there for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And so instead of kind of keeping that tight and regulated, we're like, no, come on and get them.
Yeah.
You know?
What are some of the stories? I love the example you gave of the history component to it and making those stories of people's ancestors, people's history and cultural elements that maybe they hadn't connected with before. That Water Week makes that more accessible. What are some of the stories that you've experienced or heard after things like the events of Water Week?
So as I climbers run, and there's a young family up on the porch of the barn, and they look there at I live in the house at climbers, and so I'm watching this from the deck. And they look a little confused, like they don't look like they know where they're going. And so I start hiking up to engage them and see if they need any help to point out trails. And this young kid, I don't know, might have been a fifth grader, gets real excited when I get closer and closer. And he's jumping up and down, he's all happy. And I get up there and his mom says, he was on one of your Water Week events. And he said, we can't go anywhere until we see the guy.
Oh.
And so he came out for a creek stomp, right? And then he brought his whole family.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Right? And they were a family who traditionally did not go out in nature.
Okay.
This is all new experience for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Climbers Run was the perfect place for them to go because that preserve is geared towards exactly folks that maybe don't feel comfortable in nature, maybe aren't used to being in nature. It's got not that our brother preserves don't, but it's got really well-marked trails. They're easy for all experience levels. It's got the barn, it's got infrastructure, ample parking and things like that. And that just made me real happy to know that this young man was inspired enough during one of our Water Week events to want to bring his family back outside.
Great story.
For each of you, what is your favorite part of Water Week?
The end. Because it's an exhausting week. It's an amazing, right? But we're running nonstop, which is a great problem to have. And it's 60 events. Not that all 60 are ours, because they're not all conservancy events. But the coordination of all that is a lot of work. But it's kind of like this really happy exhaustion that happens. It's not drudgery or anything like that. You know, it's this really incredible thing. I really think that for me, it's so hard to say because you have such a wide variety of programs, everything from paddles to bike rides to more formal lectures to concerts, and the list goes on. I think it's the Saturday cleanups. I'm really heavily involved in that, so that's my bias. Yeah. but I just love seeing people come outside who, again, typically don't go outside, typically don't participate in a cleanup, and get in there and do their part, and seeing the inspiration that comes from that. And seeing the hope that comes from that. Because again, we can you choose how you want to look at the world, right? I can choose to look at the world from a hopeless lens because of all the negative stuff that's going on. Or I can choose to look at the world through a positive lens because of the things that I can make a change, right? So I have to look at my locus of control. What can I do? And if I act on that locus of control, that makes a difference. And it makes a real difference here locally. And that's where it all starts. And I see that happen at every cleanup that I go to. On that Saturday, and there's multiples. I mean, we got, I think, over a dozen different locations.
Yeah, the Alliance for the Chesapeake Bay does a fantastic
job of coordinating all that.
Mm-hmm. And different municipalities, again, across the county. And, you know, some sites have opportunities for young families to get involved. And, you know, for, you know, older adults, there's sometimes when you're getting in the river and you're pulling out huge tires. But, you know, I remember, I think it was last year, we had, you know, this young girl who is, you know, going through, my goodness, she was going through the burn, Hazel. Let's just say the riparian buffers aren't always, you know, in our streamside forests aren't always the easiest things to walk through to collect trash.
Right,
and she you know, she was just up to her waist in burn hazel, and she was just taking it like a champ. And I, you know, and we got her some, there was jewel weed afterwards, Keith. You were able to like be like, this plant will help with the burn. But she was just like, and she just went right back in and started collecting more trash. You know, it's all ages and all passion. So hopefully we'll avoid the burn hazel this year.
And there's your EMT background. Yeah.
It's always great to have Keith on those. But yeah, the Alliance of Chesapeake Dade is a great job coordinating that. Mm-hmm.
So we have come now to my, I guess my favorite part of the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're going to do trivia. And because we're talking about Water Week, and we are going to talk a little bit more about the events, some of the events that are coming up in Water Week, and kind of relate trivia to those. So
be ready.
Kelly, you look a little nervous.
I am nervous. I'm glad Keith is here.
Hope I remember.
Well, you guys can work together on these. So I think you'll get the theme after a couple of questions here. So one of the iconic images of Water Week is the monolith that we talked about in Penn Square. What is the name of the statue in the middle of Penn Square?
Is it like the sailor and soldier?
Keep going, keep going.
Memorial.
Close enough.
Yep.
Yeah, the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. Nice. That one's under the win column. Conestoga River Club, as you mentioned, is hosting Conestoga River paddles throughout the week. This one's a tough one. The word kayak translates from Greenlandic. Yes, that's an actual language. I was not aware of that. It translates from Greenlandic as what?
Wow.
I want to say skin-covered boat, but I don't know if that's accurate.
It's
pretty close.
You know what? I'll give that one to you, too.
Yeah.
It literally translates to man boat or hunter's boat. So, yeah. I actually probably would have given it to you if you just said boat, to be honest with you. On Saturday, June 8th, there is a creek stomp at Climbers Run Nature Center. The farm that originally stood on the property was dedicated in the 1960s by the Snyder family to what Lancaster club?
Boys and Girls Club.
That is correct. Yes. I'm loving it. On Sunday, June 9th, you can tour the wetlands at Long's Park and enjoy the summer music series. How many years has the Long's Park Amphitheater been hosting music concerts?
Oh, they just celebrated a big anniversary last year, didn't they?
I don't know, 20?
50?
62. Whoa. They started in 1962. Wow. Isn't that something?
That's amazing. They're such great partners. Yeah. What an amazing resource for our community to have free music.
Oh, and some of those concerts are so amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, they bring in some good acts. They really do. So on Monday, June 10th, there is a guided hike on the Sunnyside Peninsula. According to traditional lore, what was this area used for prior to the Great Depression?
Was this legal or illegal activity?
It was legal, yes.
People wanted to get away during a certain season.
Yeah.
So it was a summer retreat.
Yeah.
It was a charming summer retreat similar to Mount Gretna today.
So I was going to say moonshine.
That's where I figured you were going. Yeah, yeah. Maybe later, because it then did, after the Great Depression, turn into kind of a shanty town. And Well, that is all of the time we have in episode one. We will be back in 2 weeks to hear more about events and behind the scenes that go into putting Water Week together. It's a fascinating conversation you're not going to want to miss. Until then, take care. Clean Water Conversations is brought to you by Lancaster Clean Water Partners. If you have comments or suggestions on the show topics, please contact us at info@lancastercleanwaterpartners.com. Thank you for listening.